Penguin Random House Audio presents Pride and Protest by Nikki Payne. Read for you by Casey Rogers and Ron Nary Jr. To Charlene, my audience of one, the sister I chose. Man shortage. A red light blipped on the top left of the control board. Lisa B. had a caller. Hello and good evening. You are live with Lisa B., the only DJ who gives a jam. Tell me what's on your mind. The producer mouthed a name to her. Keisha?
Girl, we are in a man shortage. I'm broke. I can't be buying my own steaks.
A cheery woman's voice buzzed over Lisa's headphones. Lisa pressed a flashing orange button on the control board and slid the dial all the way to the top. This was her pulpit. Instead of airbrushed paintings of blonde Jesus, posters of Afrobeat stars, Punjabi crooners, K-pop idols, and reggaeton bad boys competed for space on the cork wall of the small booth. Instead of scripture, someone had graffitied, "Mega Radio sucks," on the table. Her parishioners called in with their confessions, and she gave them the good word. She wasn't saving orphans in Soweto like she always imagined, but it was a kind of service to the community. It is a man drought, girl, Lisa agreed. What do you plan to do about it?
You know those new buildings that they're putting up at Netherfield Court?
You mean the overpriced luxury apartments that will force us out of our neighborhood and change the fabric of D.C. forever? Lisa said.
Yeah, those,
Keisha stammered.
Anyway, there are a lot of men working construction. I'm just going to walk past there in my shortest shorts.
Lisa remembered why she liked this job so much. So they can catcall you, whoop and holler? What are you getting out of this deal? Lisa pressed.
Do I need to spell it out, Alizé Bennett?
The woman dragged her whole government name out like an old boot. Being named after an alcoholic drink popular in the 90s was not a fact Lisa wanted broadcast across the nation's capital. She had job applications floating around. That's Lisa B. Lisa with a Z to you. She kept her name explanations ready. People saw a Z in your name and lost their damn minds. She could not count how many times she had been called Lizard with a straight face.
Well, Lisa B., I'm a woman. I have needs.
Excuse me. I thought it's a kind of truth universally acknowledged that every broke woman wants a rich man, not just vitamin D.
Times are changing, honey, Keisha told her. The construction company is having a get-together over at Netherfield. Will the radio station be there?
I have to pass, Lisa said. She couldn't begrudge people for wanting to get fed and dance on someone else's dime. But she had her principles.
Good. Maybe the rest of us will stand a chance without you and your sister showing up looking snatched.
The world still ain't safe with you on the loose. Lisa pressed the button and said goodnight to Keisha. You heard it right here, fellas. Come check Miss Keisha out. She'll be dressed to kill at the Netherfield Gala. Remember to drink up their champagne, not their Kool-Aid. We're not selling this city to the highest bidder. Lisa B. is out of here, folks. If I'm not in the studio, hit me up on the gram. I'm giving out prizes to my 30,000th follower, and it could be you. Lisa swiped the overhead mic away and twirled in her spinning chair. No matter what the future held for the radio station, if they let her go, she could take pride in what she'd done. Lisa never meant to be a local personality. She'd taken this job 3 years ago out of sheer desperation and worked her way up to airtime. Slowly, listeners tripled under her voice. Booth G was cramped, overflowing with leftover radio station swag and advertising scripts for busboys and poets. The pay was on the low side of moderate, and not even an entire can of Febreze could get the sweaty smell of the sports jockey out of the seat. But it was home to Lisa. People listened to her here. In Booth G, she was never a disappointment.
Daya is the only child of mine who still bothers to come to church with me.
Lisa's mother, Beverly Bennett, slapped her heavy purse down on the rickety table. Lisa raised her eyebrow, but otherwise didn't stir. A salt shaker rolled off the table, and her older sister, Janae,
absently caught it before it hit the peeling linoleum floor. Their apartment in Longbourn Gardens had had the same decorations, furniture, and even salt shaker placement for 27 years. Granny, Bev, and now Lisa, sometimes her brother Maurice, Janae, and her baby sister Ledea, all called the sprawling three-bedroom apartment home. Bev kicked at the boxes in the hallway, a reminder of Lisa's recent eviction from her own apartment. "When you say church, you still mean Operation Snatch a Pastor, right?" Lisa shifted her laptop and checked her email for the third time. She was supposed to be hearing from USAID about an international project manager position at a bank for women in Malawi. It had several things going for it. She could use her international studies degree and women's studies master's. She would have some place to stay without fear of her rent rising above her ability to pay. And she would be thousands of miles away from her mother. "Yes, Mother, what was the sermon about?" Janae chimed in a rare moment of fun at her mother's expense. Bev ignored Janae's tone and zeroed in on Lisa. "Lisa, I want these boxes out of my hallway. This ain't the UPS store." Bev pulled at her wig. The cascading platinum blonde tresses shifted slightly to the left, then right. "What I heard in Bible study is that you were out there picketing for the gays," Bev informed her. She made it sound like a Motown girl group. "Mom, you can just say gay," Lisa said. "Correct me again and I'll correct your behind," Bev spat out impatiently. "I don't want you involved in anything that's gonna ruin the family's reputation, you hear?" Lisa's mouth twisted sideways. "Mom, birthing the three prettiest daughters in Southeast is not a reputation, it's an opinion."
"Southeast? My Janae was almost Miss D.C., the entire district, for 3 years straight. And if you'd stop wearing those no-prescription granny glasses and put on a high heel every once in a while."
Bev didn't need to finish. This was a well-traveled conversational tributary that would eventually lead to her wailing that Lisa didn't try hard enough. For a job, for a man, or for herself. Janae sighed. "Three-time runner-up will be on my gravestone." Bev eyed Lisa again.
"Your foolishness almost made me forget the good news. Where's your granny?"
Bev stepped out of her shoes and handed them to Ledea.
"She's on the Longbourn Gardens Green Committee, and those nice little people next door at Netherfield Court invited all the gardeners to their groundbreaking gala."
Maurice sauntered into the front room then, dressed in a tan suit with a brown bow tie. He was going for a Nation of Islam look with none of the entanglements of having read any of the doctrine. He shook his locked hair out. At 22, his face still flirted with handsomeness, but never really settled there.
"Salutations, ladies," Maurice said.
"Maurice, you missed church," Lisa said.
"Mama, why didn't you wake Maurice up for church?"
They all knew why she didn't wake Maurice. Since he'd gotten back home from serving 13 days for failure to pay traffic tickets, Maurice had been aggressively woke. He went vegan for exactly 6 days, paid for an Arabic class he never showed up for, and kept calling women females in a way that sounded a lot like bitches.
"I think we should go to the gala,"
Bev said, ignoring Maurice entirely. Lisa closed her laptop slowly. "Mama, you cannot allow those developers to try to sweet-talk these senior citizens out of their apartments." Lisa stood up. "The only reason they want the seniors there is to scope them out. Longbourn Gardens is the last low-income complex in the area. My rent rose 40% above what I paid before, and here I am living with you. Where are the poor supposed to live if they tear this down too?"
"Big sis is entirely correct,"
Maurice piped in. Lisa groaned.
"This has its origins in African colonialism. The white man's need to colonize black space is insatiable. That's why I see my dating of exclusively white women as reverse colonization. We need to wreck..."
"Lisa, do you hear that? Maurice is co-signing."
Ledea stomped her foot.
"That should let you know how lame you're being right now. Why do you never want to have any fun?"
Ledea reached for Lisa's laptop. At 16, she had already taken after their mother.
All curves, height,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?